Judiciary Committee order. Today is, what are we, the 14th?
12th
today. I'm pushing it. 12th. This is the 12th, and it's 1:34. We have Senator Wilkowski, Senator Costello, and our brand new member, Senator Schauer. Chairman Coghill, I understand Senator Kelly is introducing a bill in another committee, so we'll see if he gets here in time for this bill. We're going to have two things before us today. Senate Bill 122, which is dealing with a citizen review panel. That comes from my office. And then, can you hear me all right? I'm sorry. And then we're going to take public testimony on Senate Bill 124. Senator Giesel is not going to be here today, I take it, right? So we'll just go ahead and take the public testimony today. Her staff, Kari, will take notes. And then if there's any questions that we need to ask you to take back to the senator, we'll do those today, okay? And it depends on how full we get on testimony as to how we'll go on time. We'll try to give people a generous amount of time to make their point. That's what we'll try to do. So with that, committee members, what I'd like to do is have you take the packet before you, which is Senate Bill 122. I have my staff, Reneva Moss, who will go through the bill. My top statement is just going to be I introduced this after having some conversations with both the Citizens Review Panel, the Ombudsman, and the Department of Office of Children Services. The Citizens Review Panel now resides under the Office of Children Services. They also are the very people they criticize or constructively give constructive input to. So the question is, is that the best place to do it, to have them, seeing as how they're in charge of their budgeting and there are places where they may put pressure on them or may not. But I think this just takes it out from that question mark. And it is true that the Citizen Review Panel has other duties, and we'll get into that. I have my staff, Reneva Moss. What I'd like to have her do is just go ahead and present the bill, and then you can ask questions, and then we'll lay it aside for the day. That way you can get the best look at it. So, Representative, you are not a representative. To my staff, Reneva Moss.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill. And just for the benefit of Senator Schauer, I wanted to go through the fact that the Citizens Review Panel was mandated by federal law, and it's a panel that each state is supposed to have to oversee the operations of child protective services and to make recommendations to the governor and the legislature on how to improve the process. Some states actually investigate individual cases. The Citizens Review Panel in Alaska does not investigate. What they do is they encourage parents to go through the grievance process with OCS, and if that isn't satisfactory, then they send them to the Ombudsman's office. What we're proposing to do is to put them under the purview of the Ombudsman's office and away from the purview of the Office of Children's Services, which delivers child protective services in Alaska. So just kind of a little history of that. Actually, in 2005, in House Bill 53, the legislature solidified their support for the Citizens Review Panel by putting specifics in state statute and providing funding for the Citizens Review Panel. They have been very frugal with their money. They do all of their meetings telephonically. There may be a rare case where they do it in person if they're all in the same spot at the same time. But they save the money to be able to travel on site to villages and communities and actually work side by side with caseworkers and meet with parents, teachers, public safety officers, and look at how the system is working and make recommendations on how to improve them. So this bill just transfers the oversight from OCS to the Ombudsman's office. The Ombudsman's office, their mission is to ensure that not only state but federal and local bureaucracies or governments are serving Alaskans as efficiently, effectively, and equitably as possible. They do this through specific case investigation. The CRP, their mission is to ensure that OCS is serving Alaska families efficiently, effectively, and equitably. They do this through outreach, evaluation, and advocacy. We believe that the mission of the Ombudsman's Office aligns well with the mission of the CPR, and this would give the Citizens Review Panel the autonomy to more independently review child protective services provided by OCS. The Ombudsman Office accepts citizen complaints about government agencies and personnel. They investigate to determine if there is a problem, and then they seek a remedy. The current CRP doesn't review individual cases, but encourages the use of the grievance and the Ombudsman's Office. As you can see by the chart on the screen, the Ombudsman's Office deals with OCS and individual cases quite a bit. And in 2017, there were 250 complaints. Of those, they investigated 136. They don't investigate cases where due process has not been followed. If they haven't filed a grievance, or if the matter is in the judge's hands and the judge has to make a decision, then the ombudsman would not become involved in that complaint. So what I'd like to do is go through the sectional for you. And a lot of this bill is existing statute under 4714, which is the junior programs and institutions under Title 47. So what I'll do is go through the sectional and tell you what additional language we have added. Section 1 establishes the Citizens Review Panel in the legislative branch of state government under the Office of the Ombudsman and instructs the panel to emphasize public participation in the panel's work and to bring all the stakeholders to the table. The new language in this section is that there will be at least one panel member from each of the five OCS administrative regions in the state. The next statute under Section 1 establishes the duties of the panel, which include reviewing policies and procedures of OCS on an annual basis and gives the panel authority to investigate individual cases. My guess is they wouldn't be doing that because the ombudsman would be the one doing the individual investigations. This language adds a report that OCS is supposed to provide to the Citizens Review Panel. Currently under statute, they have to provide the state plan required for grants to states for child abuse and neglect prevention and treatment programs. Now, under this bill, they also have to provide the state plan for development and expansion of coordinated child welfare and welfare services programs. It also provides that the panel may recommend and advocate for changes in policies and procedures and practices for OCS. This is in existing statute. The next subsection in Section 1 establishes duties of OCS, and this is new language. They will consult with the Citizens Review Panel periodically. They'll establish procedures for sharing administrative and case-specific information necessary for the panel to perform their duties. They'll coordinate outreach efforts with communities with panel activities. Make that clear. OCS and Citizens Review Panel, if the two of them decide to do something in Kenai, this recommends that they do it at the same time. Also coordinate activities of the panel with the Task Force on Criminal Justice. Current statute requires OCS to provide access to information on child abuse and neglect cases and to serve staff as requested by the panel. Next subsection requires confidentiality of panel members, the ombudsman, employees of the ombudsman, panel staff, and participants of the Citizens Review Panel meetings. This wouldn't include town hall meetings. Confidential information would not be provided in town hall meetings, so there wouldn't be a requirement for that. By the way, most of that subsection is in existing statute. It just adds the ombudsman and the ombudsman staff. This subsection also requires the Citizens Review Panel to conform with the Open Meetings Act. That prevents the panel members from meeting privately, and it requires them to go into executive session should they be discussing confidential information. The next subsection mandates the panel to conduct public outreach and gather public information. This is existing statute. Next subsection, existing statute, requires Citizens Review Panel to provide an annual report to the governor, the legislature, and the public. Once the report has been released, OCS will have 6 months to comment on the report. This subsection also creates a new requirement. It establishes a joint responsibility of the Office of Children's Services and the Citizens Review Panel to evaluate the child protective system every 3 years and submit the report to the Senate Secretary and Chief Clerk. And I might just add, some of these new recommendations are recommendations from the Citizens Review Panel. The next subsection, AS 2455-430, is an existing statute. It sets up a penalty of $2,500 for each violation of confidentiality if the person's convicted. 2455-435, existing statute, provides immunity for panel members from liability and panel actions. Next subsection of Section 1 is definitions. Those definitions are department, which is the Department of Health and Social Services, and panel, which is the Citizens Review Panel. Section 2 is new language. It gives the Citizens Review Panel access to confidential documents regarding child protective cases. Existing statute is vague, and there has been some discussion as to whether just how much the panel has access to confidential information. So Section 2 lists in detail what confidential information would be available to the panel. Section 3 repeals the Citizens Review Panel under 4714. That's the section I just showed you in the statute book. Section 4 requires the Department of Health and Social Services to complete a one-time report identifying processes for reviewing and overseeing the work of OCS and outline a plan to reduce duplication and improve coordination among entities responsible for child protective services. The report will be completed and submitted to the legislature within 2 years of the effective date of Senate Bill 122. Section 5 gives the Office of the Ombudsman regulatory authority. And Section 6 is transition language that allows existing panel members and officers to continue their services on the panel. This bill does not have an effective date, so it would go into effect 90 days after it's signed by the governor. I'm open to questions. I also put on the record, Mr. Chairman, I should have DeWalker and Christy Lawton on the phone, and I have Kate Burkhart here with the Ombudsman's Office.
We have we have Christy Lawton online. She's available for questions, and same with DeWalker, who is chairing the Citizen Review Panel at this point. And probably the only thing I could bring up for clarification is the Office of Children's Services is under the Department of Health and Social Services, and the Ombudsman resides in the legislative branch.
Right. Correct.
And I think that's just for clarity. Question? Senator Costello.
Thank you. I want to thank you as the sponsor of the legislation. I guess it's unfortunate that we have to have a citizen review panel, but I understand that these situations exist, and so the state has to be involved. I like Section 4 that requires the Department of Health and Social Services to do a review of existing processes, and I was wondering, Reneva, if you've been in contact with the department about just the scope of that report and whether or not we need more direction on what will be in it, or if that's something that has been received well by the state.
Through the chair, Senator Costello, the department is neutral on the bill. I have been communicating with Christy Lawton since last spring when we thought of doing this, but we haven't got real specific on the scope. That's something that both the ombudsman will be doing through the adoption of regulations, and then once the regulations are adopted or during that process, the Citizens Review Panel has actually developed some policies already, but they're going to expand on that.
Thank you.
And just to be fair, they were probably under direction to get regulations for some years and has just not been able to get there. And that's one of those things where when you ask the Office of Children's Services to do things, it's like asking somebody to tie their shoes while they're running. It's just one of those tough things that they've just never been able to accomplish. Other questions?
I do.
Senator Schauer.
Yes, ma'am. Under duties of the department, on the first bullet, consult with the panel periodically. What do you perceive periodically means? This leaves a little vague. The only reason I ask is just because, obviously, who has the authority to make that decision if they think it's necessary?
Through the chair, Senator Schauer, currently there are monthly connections between the two entities.
Okay. Is that something they just agreed to on their own? And they can, okay.
And I can give him some comfort on that. This is it's both an accountability plus a communication for better service. So it's kind of as needed, and it's as required. So those two things kind of have to happen. And I think the Office of Children's Services have done everything they can to communicate effectively with them. It's got its own natural tension, and. But as needed is probably going to be under that particular section, the most important part. Other questions? So my intention is to let you take a look at it, and then come up with questions. We probably won't hear this again until next week sometime. But if you have questions, certainly, Reneva, was... So I had Christy down here and DeWalker for questions, but the ombudsman, did you want to say anything, or are you here for questions as well? Kate, you can come up and...
I'll speak briefly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for inviting me to the table. My name is Kate Burkhart, and I am the Alaska State Ombudsman. We appreciate the... sponsor and the attention that is being placed on the role of the Citizens Review Panel, which is critical to the child protection services system. And as you can see on the big screen, the Office of the Ombudsman has pretty frequent and ongoing contact with folks engaged with the child protection system. The idea of co-location of agencies with similar missions is one I'm very familiar with. Prior to this incarnation, I was the executive director of three co-located planning councils for the Department of Health and Social Services. I will say that for that model to work, the missions have to be aligned, and Ms. Moss laid out how the missions of my organization and the Citizens Review Panel are aligned. I mean, that's set by statute. The values of the organizations have to be aligned, and I think we can get there. And there has to be adequate management and resources. I think as the committee works through the bill, we've provided some comment to the sponsor about management. Currently, the bill places the Citizens Review Panel in the Office of the Ombudsman for budgetary purposes only. That creates a fiscal agent relationship, which is not the level of management that really co-location anticipates. So we'll be working with Ms. Moss on that and some other things with the bill. But generally, I do believe that this will work and will help support the mission of the Citizens Review Panel, and I think it could augment our work. So with that, I appreciate the chance to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Work in progress. We're progressing along. Thank you, Kate. Any other questions? If not, I'm going to lay the bill aside, and then we will go to public testimony on Senate Bill 124. Is that all right with the committee? So that gives us about an hour to do some public testimony on the Senate Bill 124, and I'll just read the title for those listening in. It's an act relating to the duties of physicians and healthcare practitioners when performing or inducing abortions, providing that a child removed from a pregnant woman's womb alive for an abortion may be surrendered and found to be a child in need of aid, and providing for an effective date. Last time we had this bill up, I had Aaron Spratt here from Juneau, and I actually had a few minutes to give him testify, but I just didn't want to crack open the testimony at that point until everybody had a shot at it. So, Aaron, if you want, and then Donna Miners also is here, and then we'll jump right into it. We'll start there, and then unless the committee wants the sponsor to come up and add anything, what I think we'd do is go ahead and collect public testimony at this point. And it looks like what we have is about 25 or 26 people here to testify. And so what I'll try to do is I'll try to keep it down to 2 minutes or so. But my intention is not to close public testimony. Keep it open, and we'll conclude on Friday if we have to. We'll just keep moving on for that. And I have a little timer device here. Aaron, do you want to come up and give your testimony?
Mr. Chairman, I am an Alaska citizen that comes from a faith tradition that deeply values life, from the end of life to the very beginning of life. As well, I come from a faith tradition that loves and serves his neighbor, whether that neighbor be young or old, sick or healthy, but most certainly when that neighbor can't defend himself or his own personal rights. How we talk about a subject, the word that we use in the discussion, it matters. Abortion is murder. Abortion kills babies, living human beings. Abortion is the taking of a viable human life, a life full of possibilities and potential, cut short by the forceps ripping the baby's body limb by limb. Life begins at conception. Yes, life begins in the womb. This discussion of SB 124 concerns and pertains to living babies, human beings that need cared for and protected. Senator Geisel morbidly described the process of a DNE abortion, otherwise known as a dismemberment abortion. I was personally sickened by what I heard. Deep down, we all know that this practice is beyond horrific. I pray for the women who have been victims of abortion. When she finds out how her baby was murdered, the monstrous methods these doctors use to end the life of her precious child. I understand that there are a multiplicity of factors why a woman might have a reason to not want to go through a pregnancy. I also do not deny that this same mother has a right to bodily integrity. But I do oppose and deny that this mother should have the right to force her will upon her child by killing it, just as no one would fight for the right of a mother to abuse her child. The life in the womb of the mother has the right, the life in the womb of the mother has the right of existence because it is a human being and it is alive. I value all life which God has created and deserves honor and respect and most certainly protection. I ask you to protect the weakest in our society, to protect the babies that are in their mother's wombs. And in closing, ethically, murder is reprehensible. You as lawmakers have an ethical obligation to enact laws to prevent murder and the harm of Alaska citizens. Legally, murder is a violation of the state's laws and statutes. You as lawmakers have the legal responsibility to ensure the punishment of lawbreakers. Yet as lawmakers, you also have the great responsibility to promote life and defend the inalienable rights of all citizens, especially these babies who cannot fight for themselves. Thank you, and may God have mercy upon us.
Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate your time to come before us and your patience with us. Just to let you know, we have been joined by Senator Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a bill up in the Hess Committee.
Senator, we just started the public testimony on Senate Bill 124, and what you heard was the conclusion of the very first testifier.
Thank you.
And with that, we're going to go to Donna Miners, who signed up here. Thank you, Donna.
Mr. Chairman and committee, thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Donna Miners. I live at 4255 Lakeshore Drive in Juneau, Alaska. I am testifying my opposition to Senate Bill 124. I have lived and in Alaska and worked over 30 years of my career in nursing in Alaska. I have directly supervised over 50 staff nurses and managed a multi-million dollar budget in a healthcare facility. Senate Bill 124 does not address any pressing health and social service needs of the majority of Alaskans. Survey data collected for Healthy Alaskans 2020, an initiative done by Alaska Department of Health and Social Services in conjunction with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, reports the top five health concerns of Alaskans are, number one, alcohol use, number two, the cost of health care, number three, diet, exercise, and obesity, number four, substance abuse, and number five, violence. Where is the legislation proposed to address these needs? Senate Bill 124 requires an increased burden of care to providers who are caught in the middle of politics while struggling to meet the health care needs of real Alaskan women, couples, and families. This bill unabashedly substitutes the politically charged terminology of unborn child for the statutory terminology non-viable fetus. Clearly, this bill is an attempt to chip away at reproductive rights. I don't know if this bill would be a great test case, but I am sure it would be challenged in court. I do not want my government dollars spent on defending this bill become law. There are too many other needs for our state dollars. In summary, I am opposed to Senate Bill 124 because it does not address the real needs of Alaskans. It requires an unfair burden of care to health care providers and health care services. And it will lead to a budget drain of legal defense. Thank you.
Donna, thank you for coming to testify in front of the committee. Appreciate it. We're going to go to Wasilla at this point. We have Patrick Martin. And then we'll do about three from around the state, and then we'll come back to the room. All right? So Patrick Martin.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for hearing us today. Mr. Chairman, Alaska Right to Life opposes Senate Bill 124 for two very specific reasons. Mr. Chairman, abortion always kills a unique, living, individual human being while harming the physical and emotional well-being of another. Our two main reasons for opposition to Senate Bill 124 can be summed up in the answers to two very direct questions. The first question is, when is it okay to kill an innocent preborn baby? I hope your answer is never. The second question is, when would you vote for a bill that authorizes an abortionist to kill innocent preborn babies? Again, Mr. Chairman, I hope that your answer is never. I have a third question I'd actually like to add, and that is, when does life begin? And Mr. Chairman, since the biology and embryology sciences make it clear that life begins at conception, human rights also begin at conception, since that's what we're talking about is human conception here. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 124 authorizes abortionists to kill innocent children in the womb in two ways. First way, implicitly by directing the abortionist to subjectively determine if the child in the womb is viable, meaning capable of surviving outside of the womb, and then amending the abortion procedure to be used in the case that the child in the womb is viable. In plain English, what that means is that Senate Bill 124 states that after the abortionist determines that the baby in the womb is not yet viable, he may proceed with the abortion procedure that most effectively kills the child in the womb. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 124 explicitly authorizes abortionists to kill innocent children in the womb by allowing the abortionist to determine if the newly prescribed method of terminating the pregnancy, if the child is found to be viable, he will have to now perform a preterm live birth. And he's going to do this if that preterm live birth does not present a serious risk to the health of the mother. Mr. Chairman, under Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton rulings, the health of the mother criteria is defined to be as broad as possible, meaning that if the live birth places the mother's physical or mental well-being at risk in any way, the abortionist can proceed to kill the child in the womb. Again, put simply, the reason the pregnant woman is seeking the abortion in the first place is sufficient under Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton to perform the abortion during all 9 months of pregnancy. Mr. Chairman, unlike our friends from Planned Parenthood and the lady that just testified, we don't believe that Senate Bill 124 will block access to a single abortion. But in the unlikely case that it does, the text of the bill shows that instead of killing the baby, the abortionist will be forced to induce a preterm birth on an otherwise healthy mother and baby, placing both mother and baby at further risk. So, Mr. Chairman, in addition to urging the Senate Judiciary Committee to vote against passing Senate Bill 124 out of your committee, Alaska Right to Life is urging Senator Giesel to withdraw SB 124 and propose a law that opposes abortion in all forms, for all reasons, at all stages and ages, that affirms that life begins at conception, that affirms that the human embryo is...
I'm going to ask you to summarize, please, only because we've been 4 minutes and I've got a whole lineup of people to talk.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll wrap up. I'll finish these last 2 points. They're quick. Affirms that since a human embryo is a human being and therefore deserves the same human rights and protections that you and I enjoy, and therefore requires that any baby born alive, regardless of previous intention, must be given the very best life-saving medical treatment available by qualified, certified neonatal intensive care unit doctors and nurses.
Patrick, I'm going to cut you off there only because you're starting down the same logic that you had at the beginning. So there's no sense in reiterating that at this point. So at this point, I'm going to move along to Michael Pankin in Anchorage.
Hello, my name is Michael Pankin. I was calling in to offer my support for Senate Bill 124. The reason for this being, as I understood the bill, was that it would be protecting botched abortions. Children who were slated for abortion, the abortion was attempted, and the child was actually born alive. My support for this came directly from our Alaskan Constitution. I'll be there in just a moment. From our Alaska Constitution and preamble, it states that we have the interest in this state to transmit to succeeding generations our political, civil, and religious liberties within the United States to our succeeding generations. If this is a botched abortion and the child is alive, then that's the next generation. According to our inherent rights under Article 1, every person has the right to the natural right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Number 7 under Article 1 is that no one is to be deprived of this without due process. No child born has done anything wrong. Therefore, I would be interested in putting my support forward to SB 124. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. The question just came to me on asking questions to testifiers. There are some that I think probably are appropriate questions, and we'll probably have Patrick Martin back up for questions as well as probably Planned Parenthood when it comes time. So because those will probably be some of the more technical parts of this. But I wanted to give everybody a chance who had come to testify. So I'm going to try and keep it as concise as I can. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go to Seward. We have Barbara Anderson with the Accountability Alliance for Alaska.
Hello. My name is Barbara Anderson from Seward, Alaska. Thank you for hearing testimony on Senate Bill 124. I'm against this legislation. In a world of hypocrisy where truth is deemed slander and facts are unregarded, this bill was brought forth. It is contradictory at best and insidious in nature. The cunning use of long-worded legislation, while disregarding the fact that a human being made in the image of God is at stake in the hands of sinful men who should be, by open conviction of conscience, protecting by duty and natural law all people, is revealing. Romans 1:18-21 states, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it shown to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Yes, all involved, the mother as murderer, the doctor as paid assassin, the elected as tyrannical lawmakers, are all without excuse, because the truth of the matter is, in this Alaska legislature, David Eastman introduced House Bill 250 in May 2017, the Life at Conception Act, which protects the life of the child and defines abortion as it properly should be defined, as murder, according to God's higher law. HB 250 was purposely ignored by both Kathy Tilton and Kathy Diesel, who suppressed the truth by introducing their bill, which results in the scripture's conclusive definition, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Do not be deceived by their false humility of appealing to save a baby while the blood of murder is still on everybody's hands. I urge you not to support this bill, but rather gut it and immediately replace it with the exact language from House Bill 250. May God grant you mercy and forgiveness in your decision to repent and continue serving the people of Alaska with the highest ethics. And lastly, to encourage you further, a quote from a fellow statesman as he announces his understanding of all law and authority. May God be your assistant, for his authority is beyond all the contrivance and power of men. That's Publius Petronius, governor of Palestine. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara Anderson, for taking the time to call in and to give us your testimony. We're going to go to the room now. Allison Curry is here in Juneau. And Allison, why don't you come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Allison Curry. I'm the legislative liaison with Planned Parenthood Votes here in Alaska and also a Juneau resident. I'm here today in opposition of Senate Bill 124. Planned Parenthood provides high-quality, compassionate, evidence-based health care, including abortion services. Our providers follow rigorous medical standards and guidelines developed using the most current medical evidence available, including guidance from trusted medical organizations such as the Centers for Disease Control, the United States Preventive Services Task Force, and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Senate Bill 124 would restrict doctors' ability to exercise their professional expertise about what is best for their patients. Nearly 99% of abortions take place before 21 weeks, well before fetal viability. And in the limited later abortions that do occur, this bill would force physicians to alter how they practice medicine to comply with ideological restrictions not grounded in science in order to prioritize the health of the fetus over the health of the woman. This is a dangerous, unsafe, and unfounded precedent motivated by politics, not by medicine. This bill attacks women and families already facing the heart-wrenching decision of ending a pregnancy. Abortions later in pregnancy are performed almost exclusively in cases of fetal abnormalities, serious fetal abnormalities. This is a cruel restriction for families already facing difficult circumstances. This bill also raises serious legal and constitutional concerns, which we have outlined in more detail in our submitted written testimony to the committee. Similar language in this bill has been struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court because it is impermissibly vague and left physicians unclear as to their legal responsibilities. Women deserve high quality and medically sound health care, and leading medical groups oppose attempts to interfere with the doctor-patient relationship and also prescribe how providers care for their patients without concern for patient safety. However one feels about abortion, Senate Bill 124 is simply not a well-written bill, and it would be very difficult or impossible for providers to comply. We urge this committee to oppose this dangerous legislation, and thank you for considering these comments.
Allison, you brought up one good point that I'll just ask you, other testifiers, and the committee to be careful of, and that is assigning a motive to the prime sponsor. I would only ask that you, and I would ask them not to assign a motive to you as well. So when you say it's motivated by, I think the proposer of the legislation told us what her motive was, and so I just leave it there. Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. And that's just not to you specifically, but I figured I'd better say that as we move along through this thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
We're going to go to, by the way, I have Margaret Brody and Christy Lawton. Margaret Brody is with the Department of Health and Social Services here for questions, and the same with Christy Lawton, who is Director of Children's Services. We have Anna Thompson, who's in Petersburg. Anna, you ready to give testimony?
I am, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Anna Thompson, and I'm from Petersburg, Alaska, and I'm here representing myself. Today I am testifying against Senate Bill 124 because the decision to terminate a pregnancy should be between a woman, her family, and her physician. I believe that health care providers are best equipped to make decisions about their patients, not politicians. Allison has already touched on many of the points that I hope to see here today, so I'll cut out some of what I had to keep my testimony short. As I mentioned before, physicians, not politicians, are the best equipped with the medical knowledge to make decisions regarding the health of their patients on a case-by-case basis. The vague language of this bill makes it challenging to understand how a physician could comply in terms of being restricted and how providers can avoid liability. Alaska should be working towards ensuring high-quality medical care for pregnant women, not forcing physicians to consider the legal penalties before helping a patient. Forcing physicians to consider legal ramifications over the health of their patients is dangerous and misguided. It is time for Alaska to stop criminalizing, interfering with, and restricting women's health care. I would like to thank you for your time and allowing me to testify today. I encourage all of you to vote against Senate Bill 124. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Appreciate you taking the time to come and testify. We're going to go to the room to Julia Caulfield. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Julia Caulfield. I live in Senate District Q, and I am representing myself. I'm here today to testify in opposition of Senate Bill 124 because I believe a woman's choice to end a pregnancy should be between her and her doctor. It is not a place for politicians to be involved. This bill attacks women's health when they are already making the difficult decision to end a pregnancy. If a woman does decide to have an abortion later in the pregnancy, this bill would force a doctor to put the health of the fetus above that of the woman. This is unsafe for women and medically unfounded. Women in Alaska deserve medical care that draws on the expertise of doctors, not the beliefs of politicians. Physicians are experts in their field and should be able to treat their patients on an individual basis. The language of this bill does not make clear what a physician must do to comply with the legislation. This bill is unreasonable and unworkable for physicians while simultaneously preventing women from getting the care they need. This bill is bad for Alaskan women, and it's bad for doctors. I would like to thank the Judiciary Committee for allowing me to testify today. I ask that you all oppose Senate Bill 124. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony and coming to committee. I'm going to go to the Anchorage LIO at this point, and we'll take two. And then we'll come back for two later. But Robin Smith and is it Xenia Peterson? So Robin Smith, are you there to testify?
I
can barely hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm right next to the mic. I don't know.
All right.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, just barely, so speak up.
Okay. Most women who have later-term abortions are dealing with wanted pregnancies that have gone terribly wrong. Either the woman's health is endangered, or the fetus is not viable, or is suffering from severe anomalies or major impairments. These are very difficult decisions to make on their own without government interference. There is another group that has later-term abortions, and that group is young adolescents, and I'm talking 15 or under. They are more likely to deny a pregnancy. This is due to the shame that our society has placed on having an abortion or their need. Fear the response of their parents, they might think they get kicked out, or maybe they're in a very dysfunctional family. We know that in Alaska, we have major problems with domestic abuse, child abuse, and alcoholism. So it's difficult for these teens to very often move forward and get help that they need. In Alaska, there's also a problem of access to abortion services. There's only 4 communities in our state that offer these services. And not only is there the cost of the abortion, but there is the cost of transportation. It's not an easy thing for somebody out in the village to maneuver. Finally, I believe a woman's life must be paramount. She may already have children at home. We must do what is right for this woman and not endanger her health further by saying what type of abortion procedure is done. I find it interesting that we do not demand that all parents donate a kidney or part of a liver or blood if a child's life is at risk. We don't demand that. We only demand pregnant women to potentially sacrifice. So, this bill is not a priority for Alaska. I'm deeply disappointed that Senator Giesel has brought this bill forward. I personally want the legislature to focus on the funding crisis we are having in Alaska rather than focusing on the few number of abortion procedures that this bill will impact. Thank you again for allowing me to testify. My name is Robin Smith.
Thank you, Robin. And do we have, is it Xenia Peterson?
Thank you for the work. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Xenia Peterson. I live in Senate District I, and I'm here representing myself. Today I'm testifying also against Senate 124 because I believe that the decision to have an abortion should be left between a doctor and their patient. This bill is upsetting. In Alaska, it's already hard to get access to reproductive health care, comprehensive sexual education, and, of course, abortion. The barriers already put in place are infringing our legal right to have an abortion, and this bill is just one of many that restricts the same rights. The decision to have an abortion is not an easy one, but it should be made with the care of a trusted physician and family. The bill will not only come between the patient and their right to seek legal abortion, but would also penalize doctors for doing their job. Physicians have worked hard to get where they're at today by forcing them to alter how they practice medicine, abandon their own judgment, and possibly face criminal penalties is just wrong. Instead, I propose we focus on funding more programs that teach medically accurate sexual education and healthy relationships to avoid unintended pregnancies. I want to thank the committee for letting me testify, and I urge all of you to vote no on number 124. Thank you.
Xenia, thank you very much. Just for the legislative office in Anchorage, that microphone is either not close enough or it's not turned up enough, so it faded on us, but we got most of that. Xenia, thank you for taking the time out of your life to come and testify. We're going to go to Ninana, to Pam Samash, and then we'll go back to the room here in Juneau for a minute.
Okay, just a minute. Hi, good afternoon, Pam Samash and Ninana. I've been listening to the testimonies, and I would just like to know, make sure, first of all, did you guys get my email?
Yes, I did, my guess is if it was sent to all members, yes. If not, I'll distribute it.
All right. I just want to make sure that you did get that, and I would like to remind people where this came from. You know, it's the medical board that started this. they're the ones who decided to allow late-term abortion, and we're the ones who didn't support your bill 3 years ago to stop late-term abortion. So, you know, everybody's, you know, blaming Kathy Geisel for this and for that, but we did this, and the medical board did this. So we're forgetting who's the one responsible. So with that email I sent you, I would like to also add, if you could please read that, and just the fact that Planned Parenthood doesn't want this bill makes me want it 10 times more. So pass that bill and save a baby. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Appreciate taking the time to come testify. We're going to go to the room, and it's Sochi Lopez Ayala.
Did I get on the phone.
Oh, okay. I thought you were in room. You're in Juneau. Thank you for taking time. Please, Sochi.
Yes, thank you so much. Chairman and Senators, I'm opposed to SB 124. My name is Sochi Lopez Ayala, and I'm a homeowner here in Juneau. I honestly despise having to call in to have this conversation about abortion access. You guys have managed to sneak it into this bill by shrouding reproductive health for women in secrecy by using OCS and children, you know, the buzzwords. However, every year we go through this. I cannot understand why you all feel abortion access needs to come up every year. Decisions on abortion and reproductive health should be left to a woman, her physician, and her family. Like, I can't stress this enough, that there's no place for government to be in control of my body or any woman's body, and legislation like this is always trying to infringe on my body commonly, as well as other women's. You claim this bill is about Alaskan children and Alaskan women, but really it's to limit and restrict access to women. You should focus on matters that will help Alaskan women rather than hurt them like you're doing with this bill. So I gave you, here's a suggestion to help you out. Why don't you guys focus on having more state resources for sexual education, access to birth control, and family planning contraceptions that will help women, especially Native women and women of color like me. These tools will allow us to have successful careers without services. These tools will allow us to have successful careers. Without these services, I would not have been able to excel in my career and plan my family. Instead, you want to infringe on my rights as a citizen and Alaskan women and women that are, you know, just trying to live their life. So I would thank you for your time, yet you guys should really be thanking me for my time, as this is an every year occurrence that I have to take time off of work to fight for my reproductive health, which is unnecessary and outrageous. It's 2018. Get with the program. Do not pass Senate Bill 124 and continue to protect Alaskan women. Thank you.
Thank you, Sochi, for taking the time to testify. We're going to go to Fairbanks at this point to Serene Rose O'Hara Julie.
Yes. Hello. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Like I said, my name is Serene Rose O'Hara Jolly. I'm here testifying on behalf of myself. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I would like to say that I am in opposition to Senate Bill 124. For many of the reasons already stated, but I would like to take a moment to look at this fiscal note associated with the bill, using that money not only in a time when Alaska is struggling with ways to find money for budget items that are necessary. We also know that using that money for things like family planning services, access to reproductive care before the need for an abortion arises, would be money better spent. We know the safe and medically sound way to reduce the need for abortion, and that's sex education, family planning services, and access to birth control. So I'd urge the panel to use what money Alaska has in a sensible and reasonable way to make this state safer for all Alaskans. So please oppose Senate Bill 124. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Serene, for taking the time to call in. We're going to go back to Anchorage. I will get two in Anchorage, and then we have Melissa Rodriguez here in Juneau, I think. So, Anne, is that report? Report? Pardon me for saying the name improperly. In the Anchorage Legislative Office, Anne, is that Rappaport or Liz Rangel?
Thank you. Can you hear me if I speak in this direction?
Thank you very much. I can hear you now.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for this opportunity. My name is Ann Rappaport. I live in Senate District N. I am here today to testify on my own behalf in opposition to SB 124, a horribly misguided bill that would require physicians to induce or perform abortions to attempt to birth an unborn fetus so it can be put up for adoption. There was an excellent editorial February 5th in the Anchorage Daily News, which wisely called out the full unspoken consequences of those working to abolish legal access to abortion and why Senator Giesel's proposed SB 124 is such a bad idea. The question asked was whether those working so vehemently to prevent abortion are also so enthusiastically speaking up to adopt any babies who might result. Any such babies would likely each need hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical and social services care throughout their lives. That's the expected fate of fetuses forced into an early birth or born addicted to drugs through a drug-addicted mother, born with fetal alcohol syndrome and subsequent learning, social, and emotional challenges, or those which may be brought up in an abusive, violent, or unloving atmosphere. Our legislature has already significantly cut funding for health and social services. Passing this bill would result in another huge unfunded mandate. Alaska's Department of Health and Social Services conducted a fiscal analysis and found it would cost nearly $2 million in the first year and nearly $4 million a few years later, which, as someone else wisely pointed out, could be put to much better use for many more people in reproductive health planning. Most significantly, they estimated it could affect two potential fetuses a year, with an increase slightly in the next few years. What is the legislature doing, I'd like to ask, spending time on a bill that could affect two pregnancies a year when we have a state on the verge of fiscal collapse and tens of thousands of students forced into ever larger classrooms because we keep cutting education funds? SB 124 offers no process for funding the likely tremendous cost of care for an early birth or subsequent care and education for babies who may be drug or alcohol damaged, nor is there any concern for the poor woman who would be forced to go through this trauma after making a tremendously difficult decision to pursue an abortion. Why is the legislature considering a bill that will push the government into a woman's body and her most personal decision? Our state constitution protects an individual's right to privacy, so the legislature has no business altering a woman's decision that has resulted from an accident, a mistake, or is the result of an act of violence or other abuse. Your committee time and the time of the legislature as a whole would be much better spent balancing our state budget, fully funding education for all our children, and addressing overall public safety rather than on the personal issues of a few women. Shame on you if you vote to approve this bill. Please vote no on SB 124 now and do not consider passing anything similar. As someone else said, this is ridiculous every year that these issues keep coming up. They affect only a few people, and they're not the state legislature's business. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Anne. And now we'll go to Liz Rangel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
Just barely. So if you can get a little closer.
Can you hear me now?
There, very well. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for having me here today. For the record, my name is Liz Rangel, and I'm representing myself as a constituent of District L. I'm here to testify against Senate Bill 124 because I find it inappropriate for decisions on women's bodies to be made political. Bills like Senate Bill 124 have the sole purpose of placing obstacles between women and their access to a safe abortion. This bill is medically unsafe in its vague language, and it encourages physicians to place a woman's life and well-being second to that of the fetus. It's a dangerous bill, and I want to see the Senate value Alaskan women and Alaskan children when you all vote. To echo Anne's testimony, I do think it's more important to place more value on children that are already born by funding education. I want to thank the Judiciary Committee for allowing me to testify today. And as an Alaskan woman, I urge you all to vote no on Senate Bill 124. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz, for taking time to come to the LIO to offer your testimony. We're going to go to Melissa Rhodes Reese, who's here in the room at this point. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. Excuse me a second. So thank you, Mr. Chair. So again, my name is Melissa Rhodes Reese, and I am a Juneau resident. I am here today in strong opposition against Senate Bill 124. I'm going to keep this pretty short and sweet. A lot of people pretty much made my point already in what I wanted to say, and they did it very well. The factors that go into the decision-making process surrounding abortion are personal, they're private, and they're between a woman and her medical professional and her family. It's not an easy decision, and it's really easy to sit in a room, separate, and make assumptions about people and their personal choices. And specifically with these later term abortions, it's not, you know, they're so, like Allison said, the situations surrounding them are generally extreme. 8% of abortions in the state of Alaska in 2017 were late term. That is such a small number, and the circumstances around that are already just tremendous. And I'd like to add a personal anecdote of a close family member who had a child who it would have been detected early at some severe physical, she's severely physically disabled. And if they would have caught this ailment earlier, my family member could have had a late-term abortion, and this child wouldn't have had to suffer and be in 24 hours of pain 7 days a week for the 5 years that they lived. Constant physical pain. So as a child, children should run and jump and play, and they shouldn't be strapped to a bed with feeding tubes. So with all of that being said, I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen to me and strongly oppose this bill.
Thank you very much, Melissa, for taking the time to come down here and testify in front of the committee. In Palmer, I have Rick Small. Rick, are you able to give your testimony at this point?
Yes. I am an abolitionist of human abortion. Just like there were abolitionists of slavery, I don't believe that we should regulate the murder of human beings. That practice ought to be abolished. The laws in Alaska clearly states that an unborn child is worthy of protection, but it goes on to state in Section 180 that protection for the murder of that child does not apply if a woman feels like it or if another person is assisting her with that. That's not only insane, but it's evil. This bill does not address abortion as murder. Abortion is not a medical procedure. Abortion is the murder, the premeditated murder of an innocent human being that is in development. If it was two-year-olds that were being murdered, we wouldn't be trying to regulate it a little bit. We wouldn't be bowing to the Supreme Court who is telling us that we have to allow the murder of children in our state. It's time for Christians to rise up and start acting like Christians, and to work to abolish human abortion, not to regulate it.
Rick, thank you very much for taking time to call in, Senator Kelly.
Just a comment. I don't have a question, but I don't think the abolitionists were against the Underground Railroad.
That's point well taken. What we've done is we've taken, and I've tried to give as much liberty as I could outside of 4 minutes for Patrick Martin of Alaska Right to Life. And we've exhausted the list today, but I don't think we've exhausted the discussion, I can tell you that. So at this point, I'm going to leave public testimony open on this particular bill. Is there anybody else in the room that wanted to testify before I close? Yes, come on forward and put your name on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jasmine Yermia. I'm a 17-year-old senior from Petersburg. I'm here to testify against Senate Bill 124.
Right.
From my perspective, Senate Bill 124 is asking for underdeveloped unborn children to undergo a premature induced birth. I don't see the rationale behind taking babies and forcing them to live a life where they are without a mother from birth, which would force the children into a situation where they would suffer mentally from not having the mother-child bond that shapes the children's development from their first few weeks of life. Additionally, these premature babies would fall behind all children of their age dynamic because all development is done outside of the womb, takes premature babies longer to catch up on. My brother was born 3 months prematurely. He had not only died, nearly died multiple times throughout his first year due to his underdevelopment, but he also suffered from social and academic learning disabilities up until middle school, and that was while having a full-time mother. The negative effects on premature babies' development without having a full-time mother would be undoubtedly more potent. This bill also leaves open the very important question of what is the plan for these premature children? How would they be kept not only alive but in a state of healthy development both physically and psychologically? And what role would the state be taking on by taking charge of the unwanted premature children? During this time of financial crisis, the cost of a program that would support this bill would be detrimental to the state. Senate Bill 124 is not only unusually cruel to the children that it would affect, but is also inefficient and financially detrimental to the state. Thank you.
Thank you for taking time to testify. Thank you very much. Is Patrick Martin still online? Patrick, are you available for a question?
Yes, sir, I am.
Senator Costello had a question for you.
Thank you. I appreciate you staying online. I just was curious. This is Senator Costello. I was just curious, in the history of the state, has there ever been a time when Planned Parenthood and the Alaska Right to Life have come out on the same side of a piece of legislation?
No, not to my knowledge. Well, excuse me, Senator Costello, through the chair. To my knowledge, no. And we are not on the same side on this piece of legislation either. If we are in some way enjoined simply by opposing a piece of legislation puts us on the same side, then I think that would be really unfortunate. But the reasons and the basis for our opposition are completely different.
Thank you, Senator Costello.
Thank you, Senator Coghill.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for staying online. And I know I waylaid that question until the very end, but I wanted to make sure that everybody who came to speak today got to speak. So I didn't have to rush anybody except for you, and so thank you very much for your patience. What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave public testimony open. I'm going to lay the bill aside. The sponsor's staff has been listening to the questions. We'll report back to Senator Giesel on Senate Bill 124. I've resisted debating those people who come to testify because I wanted them to have their full and complete say. But when it comes time for the debate on the committee, most of the issues that were brought forward in the debate or in the public testimony probably will find themselves right in the middle of that debate. And so just to let those know, there's more than one side to this particular issue. So that will be up for debate. So on Wednesday, I intend to ask the committee, well, first of all, I intend to have public testimony still open. We'll take those. If there's amendments from the committee, then I want those amendments to come in prior to the Wednesday meeting, if at all possible. But we'll take amendments Wednesday. That gives you a day and a half, basically, to get amendments in. And then my intention is to have that debate, and if we have time, we'll bring it up for a vote. There will be other bills that we'll have up in committee, but this one will be the primary bill. So we're going to lay it aside, and there is a bill. Staff, what's the number of the hospital? HB 312, which deals with the nurses' public safety issue, the new felony. I'm planning on bringing that up Friday for some discussion, and if need be, I'll hold it over till Monday for a vote. So I just wanted to bring that back up to your attention, too. And SJR 14 is probably going to be brought up again on Friday. All right. So with that, we'll lay this bill aside. Thank all for coming to publicly testify. And we'll consider that as we move forward on this bill. no other issues before us, we're going to adjourn at, looks like, 2:44.